Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness. My guest today, Kay Hemphill, serves as the Church Relations Coordinator for Operation Christmas Child in Bent County, Colorado. Kay will share some basic facts about this project, how you can participate, and how the project brings the gospel to children around the world. Good morning, Kay. Welcome to Step Into the Light.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, you're more than welcome, and I'm excited to have you share some of the things that you shared at our church the other day, and maybe even a little bit more than that with us. First of all, Kay, I think many people have heard about the project, but assuming there's somebody who hasn't, could you give us an overview of the Operation Christmas Child?
It is an opportunity to reach children in countries that are needy, children who may not have basic things, and it goes through Samaritan's Purse. School supplies and basic things like soap are suggested gifts. These reach children who will never receive a gift probably in their lifetime again. Every child receives only one box in their lifetime. Local churches contact Samaritan's Purse to request distribution in a specific area near where they are. Samaritan's Purse has an international relief organization, so it has local partners all around the world and has contacts everywhere.
Excellent. Well, I know, Kay, that you're the church coordinator for this local area. Do you know how Operation Christmas Child came into existence? What started this, and how long has it been? Do you know?
Since 1990. In 1990, the program was started in the United Kingdom by David and Jill Cook. And after 3 years after beginning this, the Wales-based Shoebox Gift Project merged into partnership with Samaritan's Purse, allowing it to be shared 20 years of expertise in relief and aid work with the project and expand the reach of the Shoebox Gifts to more than 28,000 children that year. Since 1993, Operation Christmas Child has delivered gift-filled boxes to over 188 million children in more than 170 countries and territories.
That is astounding facts and figures there, Kay. Thank you for sharing that with us. Wow, that is just absolutely amazing.
Last year, more than 9 million boxes were distributed to children.
Oh, my goodness. That is a lot of boxes. Wow.
Yes, it is. A lot of children.
Definitely. Now, can you explain, you mentioned boxes, and for people that have never heard of the project, what kind of boxes are we talking about?
Shoebox size boxes, not the boot size. And Operation Christmas Child and Samaritan's Purse do have pre-printed boxes that can be ordered. They are $25 for 50 boxes. If it went by how many shoes I have per year, I don't have a shoebox per year, hardly even. So when I want to pack for 25 children, I need more than my own shoe boxes. And these are sturdy boxes, and they're colorful. And some people paint scenes inside them to go with a doll that's included in the box, or maybe a car that's in the box or something like that, so that they have an extra little bit inside their box.
Neat. And I also learned, you know, as we move further and further into the future, if you will, I also learned the other day at our church that there's a little pamphlet inside of each box, and well, it has a tag, I guess, where you determine gender of child and age you are packing for, but also on that little brochure is one of those, I don't even know how, I've never done one, but it's a scan thing, and you can scan
yeah.
that. Will tell a person where their box is going. So I thought that was kind of neat. That's something that we didn't have several years ago when I was doing boxes with my kids. And I thought, wow, you know, that's really neat because
when you make a donation for the shipping specifically with the box, and you make that donation online, then you can follow your box to where it goes and know where it went and where the child is that you who receives your box. In the box is the greatest gift booklet in each box. And this tells about Jesus Christ and his salvation. And through this, children are given the opportunity to follow a 12-week discipleship program that introduces them to Jesus and explains about Christ. And when they finish this program, they receive a New Testament. And this is everything is in their heart language, their own language. And many times through this, entire families and communities come to Christ. And this is eternity, and this is the great commission that we are given by Christ.
Absolutely.
That's
wow.
Very exciting. The shipping for each box is about $9. And the cost of the greatest gift, the greatest journey, and the New Testament is $6 per child.
And that comes out of $9, Kay, or is that separate and apart?
That's separate. Yeah, it's $9 for the shipping and $6 for the New Testament, the discipleship program, and the greatest gift booklet to child.
And I also understand, if I'm not mistaken, that if a person, well, first of all, let's talk about what kind of items a person would put in the box and what type they wouldn't, because I know that there are some definite parameters that they recommend.
A standard size shoe box or the box that is provided. They want a wow gift, such as a doll, some kind of toy, maybe a soccer ball with a pump, a harmonica, something like that, a garment or a recorder, mm-hmm. things that the children would just, any child would just love to have. Other gifts, it's good to put soap, toothbrush, face cloth, supplies, perhaps flip-flops or some kind of shoe. Many children don't get to go to school simply because they don't have shoes. And there were a couple orphanages I watched video about where everyone in the orphanage used the same toothbrush.
Oh my.
So these are things that we don't think about here. Child probably has everything. My children have everything they need. My grandchildren mm-hmm. have everything they need and
yeah.
more. These children don't have these basic things. To not have a toy, to never receive a gift, is just. And the one boy was so thrilled to get soap because his family didn't have any soap. Socks and sunglasses, jewelry, watches. If you send a flashlight or something that uses batteries, they always ask for extra batteries. I find solar ones, and I send them when I do that.
Great.
Like a solar calculator, picture books, crayons, colored pencils, things like that they really like. If you go to the SamaritansPurse.org website and then go to Operation Christmas Child, they have shoebox gift suggestions for each age group, 2 through 4, 5 through 9, and 10 through 14 for boy and for girl.
Kay, I know there are also things that have been recommended to not put in a box, things that we don't even think about today here that would have a negative connotation for a child in another country. For example, little toy soldiers and anything that has to do with war, they discourage.
Anything war-related is not allowed.
Yeah,
these children suffer greatly.
Right.
And anything liquid or perishable,
mm-hmm.
no
mm-hmm.
candy, no lotions or liquids, medications or vitamins, and anything breakable or glass, no seeds, no used items or damaged items, toothpaste
mm-hmm.
or gum, or anything in an aerosol can.
Okay. Even T-shirts that have common cartoon characters that are common in this country would have absolutely no meaning to a child in some of these other countries.
Correct.
So
just plain T-shirts are the best.
Yeah, I mean, just plain T-shirts or maybe a T-shirt that says, God loves you, if you could find one or something like that. But,
yep.
I mean, nothing that has any relation to a brand name or a TV show or anything like that is appropriate for these children because they just can't relate to it.
Right. If it's in English, they still don't know what it says. So even
That's
if it says
point.
God loves you, they won't know what it says unless they're
That's
told.
right. See, I didn't even think about that, but you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Because they don't speak English and read English.
I was just thinking when you mentioned the greatest gift that is put in each
The greatest
box.
gift is the booklet in the box, and then the greatest journey is the 12-week discipleship program.
Right. And then the children are each given a New Testament in their heart language. Wow. When you think about the number of people that it takes to accomplish that, that is amazing, because there's got to be a whole bunch of people out there that do an awful lot of interpreting.
Yes.
Which to me is just an amazing example of Jesus' love throughout the world.
Another thing is the children say, who loved me enough, who doesn't even know me, to send me this gift? And it's very much encouraged to put a letter in there. And if a picture of yourself, if you can. I will be taking pictures while we collect boxes this year to put in boxes if people don't have one in there. And we also have a little page that can write on that about who you are and telling them you sent this because you love them and because Jesus loves them. So that children can know who sent that to them.
Yeah.
I listened to one girl she's an adult now and volunteers with Operation Christmas Child. She grew up in Russia and in an orphanage. And she said the first orphanage she was in was much better than the second one she was in. She said she had really nothing of her own, and her favorite color was pink. And she didn't have anything pink, just the barest necessities and not really any affection particularly. They had their physical, they had food and shelter, but there really wasn't much love shown. She received a shoebox when she was, I think, 10 or 12 years old, and everything in it was pink.
Oh, how
And she just loved it, and she said that showed her that Jesus loved her, even had someone who never met her in another country send her pink and things that she really needed and wanted.
Oh, that is so neat. Isn't it amazing how the right box always seems to get to the right child?
Yes, that's our God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I didn't say that's the power in our God. So, Kay, I don't know if you told us, how did you become involved with Operation Christmas Child? What interested you about the project, and had your family been involved with it?
Well, it began in 1990, and in 1994, Operation Christmas Child was birthed in West Samaritan's Purse. And it was a little while after I moved to Los Angeles that I heard about it through the church I was attending, and I became more involved in it when I realized more of what it means and what it does. Mm-hmm. And these gifts are delivered all year long. I went through a very hard time with my children, and I want to give back. God has given to me greatly, and I want to give also. And if children can come to know Christ and their families and churches be planted, then this is very important. I couldn't do this on my own, but through this organization and this enterprise, I can be part of this, taking the gospel to the rest of the world.
It certainly is a way to spread the word of God. Yeah.
And this has become our family's major Christmas project. We give to our grandchildren and children, but most of our giving is through Operation Christmas Child now. It has been for some years now.
Also, you mentioned that I used to think when I first learned about the project, how do all these boxes get delivered on Christmas Day? Well, obviously they don't.
No. Right now, some boxes are waiting to leave a port, and because of wildfires, they are being held up. And I do believe now they're being able to be to their destination, but it is all throughout the year. And there is also the ability online to pack shoe boxes any day of the year. It's $25 to pack the shoe box, and it is, you donate the money, and then the Operation Christmas Child organization packs the shoebox in your name and sends it to a child.
Very nice. Yeah, I think that would be handy for some people who just don't, like me, who, like I say, I just don't shop for young people anymore. I wouldn't even know where to begin. So,
yes.
Yeah, that would be most helpful. And also, I might mention to listeners as well that I'm sure that a cash donation as well to cover these expenses of mailing and the cost of the literature that they put in there and all that. So I thought I'd mention that too. And that can probably be done right through the website as well, can it, Kay?
Yes, absolutely. Or you can donate to the local church collection center and they will forward it to Operation Christmas Child if that's how you choose to do that.
Right.
And they do deliver throughout the year because many times in December and January, some areas it's just too rotten weather and the poor roads are poor. So they continue throughout the year.
Definitely.
One of the things I have learned to include is life straw. Often in these areas, they do not have sanitary water, and I get as many life straws as I can to include in boxes, and these are a personal water sanitation straw that they can filter the water they drink through that.
Oh, my goodness. I imagine that would be an amazing gift.
I learned about that a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. And where can you purchase something like that, Kay? I'd never even heard of it.
Well, you know, I went online and just searched life straws, and I found some on Amazon. I can't remember what other source I found it on, but if I just did a search online for life straws and found them.
Oh, very good. And you, once you have collected all the boxes in the local churches, are you responsible to take them on to the next place, wherever that is?
Yes, in Los Animas, we have a church that is a collection point, and then Rocky Ford is the local area collection point, and then from Rocky Ford, they take them to the Denver collection point, and then they're processed, and the boxes are not changed in any way. They are examined to make sure there aren't any of the items that just cannot be sent. And if there is something in a box, that is put into a collection and sent to local charities where they need things for children. And if a box is overfilled, it is left overfilled. It is not taken out. They do not go through and decide what should be left in the box and take things out of it. It is left as the donator packs it so that gift is from them and that's the gift they're giving.
Okay. But also I think I read somewhere that if there are boxes that are not quite as full as they could be, they also have items that they can add.
Yes, they can. They have a donation, stuff donated right at the donation center, the collection center, where they can fill a box up that isn't quite full.
So it seems all of the children receive pretty much an equal amount of items.
Yeah, I think so. The box is only so big.
Yeah.
I wanted to make dolls, and I had to shrink my doll down to 1/4 size before I could get her in a box and still get something else in it.
I have one story
here to read, if I may.
Oh, please do.
The mission of Operation Christmas Child is to provide local churches who are ministry partners around the world with shoebox gifts as a way to reach children in their communities. For many children, this is the first gift they will ever receive. More important than the items inside the shoebox, the gifts are an opportunity to share God's love and the good news of Jesus Christ with children in need. In each shoebox receiving country, we partner with a national leadership team, and there is a website, Operation Christmas Child Volunteer Network, that one can go to. It consists of year-round volunteers from various church denominations. Together, they strategize how to reach children in their country with the gospel. It is our desire to give one shoebox to a child in his or her lifetime. This is the model used in our training. Local churches distribute shoebox gifts to children in different communities each year to avoid giving the same children gifts year after year. Because of this strategy, the economic impact on a community is minimal and allows us to reach millions of new children every year with the good news of Jesus Christ. We disciple thousands of boys and girls each year, with millions now sharing their faith with their friends, family, and beyond. According to Henry Mantanamba, Operation Christmas Child Prayer Coordinator in Malawi, if shoebox gifts impacted our local economy negatively, the government would never allow them. They see it as a blessing to the children of Malawi. In more than 100 receiving countries, shoebox gifts are used by local Christians as a strategy for evangelism, discipleship, and the multiplication of believers and churches in their communities. More important than the items inside the box, the gifts are an opportunity to share God's love and the good news of Jesus. Local Christians who know the culture and language best are given effective resources in their own language and a solid biblical foundation so they can communicate the gospel within their own communities through shoebox outreach events and the Greatest Journey Discipleship Program. For example, in Fiji, a pastor hosted an Operation Christmas Child shoebox outreach event in a rural community that had no church. He then invited the children to attend the Greatest Journey follow-up discipleship program. As the students gathered for the lessons, Their parents grew curious and began attending too. The village elder became a believer and offered his property as a place for the new church to meet. Today, 80 people attend regularly, and 5 additional churches have been started in surrounding villages. This is one example of over 1,000 churches planted annually as a result of Operation Christmas Child in regions where we work. Mm-hmm. The evangelism and the discipleship resources utilized by Operation Christmas Child were intentionally developed with input from local believers in 16 countries from 6 continents and are specifically focused on children. In the 11 countries where shoebox gifts are packed, Operation Christmas Child provides an opportunity for participants to be a part of fulfilling the Great Commission. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And that is in Matthew 28, verse 19. In this church-to-church ministry model, churches who pack shoebox gifts partner with local churches around the world as they share God's love with children in need and provide follow-up discipleship through the greatest journey. There are more than 75,000 pastors and church leaders share the gospel every year at outreach events where shoebox gifts are delivered.
Wow, that is so amazing, Kay. You know, I wanted to share with listeners also kind of a pitch for a friend of mine. She wrote a book entitled A Snowflake's Adventure. It's a children's book, and she also has a friend who translated that book into Spanish, and it's really a cute little story that reflects God's plan for all of us. She has made an agreement where she will send, for every book that is sold, she will send a book to Operation Christmas Child, up to 500 books. She's hoping to have 500 books by November 10th to
send.
Oh,
wow.
So that's pretty amazing. So if anyone's interested, the name of the book is The Snowflake's Adventure, and it can be found on Amazon. I'm going to take a little break. This is where I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light. Today we have 3 guests. First of all, we have Kay Hemphill, who has been sharing with us basic information about Operation Christmas Child, what happens on the local level. And later we will have Linda and Richard Estep, who have spent a considerable amount of time with the project and have been to distribution centers where the children receive the Christmas Child boxes, and they'll share with us a little bit about what that is like and the far-reaching impact of the Operation Christmas Child program. If you'd like to listen to this show again, or hopefully you will refer it to friends and family, you can go to my website, which is Patty Sheen, that is spelled PattiSheene.com. There you will find a link right on the very first page to this show, and links to the last 3 or 4 shows that we have aired. But go to the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page, and you will find the link to all the shows we have aired to date. And also under each show is a more information tab that will lead you to websites that will give you further information. Let's get back to our interview. Hey, is there anything else you can think of that you'd like to share with us about Operation Christmas Child, personal experiences, or just little facts that you've thought about that we haven't mentioned so far?
I read that there are 100 countries deliver boxes, and there are thousands of volunteers. I saw the number a moment ago, and I can't find it now. 75,000 pastors and churches leaders share every year, but I cannot find the number of volunteers. But it takes thousands of volunteers to do this.
Oh, I'm sure.
But if you can think of something your children need, then that these children need those, except they probably don't have them. And the most important part is prayer still. Pray over the box, pray over what you put in it, and pray when you deliver it. And continue to pray that the children who receive these boxes understand and recognize the message of Christ that's given to them.
Yes, definitely. And I wonder, do you think that there's kids here in this country, Kay, that develop any kind of a pen pal relationship with back in the day?
Yes,
when
that does happen. Yes, oftentimes they write, if the information is put in the shoebox, and that's why we suggest a letter, they often write back, and sometimes they get to meet the person who sent the shoebox eventually.
How would that be?
One boy in, I think it was India, received a box, and the sender left information, and he got to meet that lady a few years later. And they became best of friends.
Oh, my goodness.
He always felt like she was his second mother. Can you imagine?
Yeah. that would be so neat. Yeah, I can't imagine what it would be like to, you know, to establish a relationship like that with somebody from another country. It must be very rewarding.
And to have a second family, that's like another child. It's just so amazing.
I know I've heard people make the comment, Kay, they don't understand why the shoeboxes are not delivered to deprived areas in this country.
It isn't that they don't do something, they don't, this specific ministry, I don't think they do in the United States, but they do many other things that are equivalent to help children here.
Oh, absolutely.
And families here.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But I think, you know, some people have asked, why do they not do Christmas Child in this country? And I think the reason is people do not realize the degree of deprivation that these children are suffering in other countries. We can't even begin to fathom what it's like, because we
yes.
have so much here. And when you have a child, like you said, that can't go to school because they don't own a pair of shoes.
Or can't buy pencils.
Yes. And I don't know. Maybe there are children in that state of deprivation here in this country. I don't know. But the comparison is just almost incomparable.
The poorest here are rich compared to these children.
Definitely.
We really are the poorest ones. Because even when I was struggling so much, my kids had clothes. They were able to go to school. They had food, they had housing, and many of these families live in just kind of a mud shack or something like that. Here it wouldn't be acceptable as a garage hardly, but
mm-hmm.
they don't have electricity, and like the life straws, they don't have running water.
Right.
These things are completely unheard of for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So I can certainly understand why the project is more of an overseas project than it is. And you're right, Samaritan's First does amazing things throughout this country and throughout the world for people that have suffered from disasters and the COVID pandemic and everything. So anyway, I just thought I would throw that out there because I know that people do have questions about that. We hadn't really mentioned any dates yet, but it may seem strange that we're talking about Christmas time here in the middle of October on the show. But the reason for that is because I personally wanted to make people aware at least a month in advance that Operation Christmas Child Collection Week is the third week in November. Seems like a lot of time, but you know how things get so busy at Christmas for everyone. So I wanted to kind of do a heads up ahead of time so that we're not doing this show like a week before. So that's the reason why you're hearing this show in mid-October, because there is a deadline for mid-November, and that's for local. And then, after that, like Kay mentioned, the boxes go on to the next level, which is district, I believe, and then they go on to Denver, and so it is throughout the country. And we wanted to make you aware, too, just because Kay happens to work out of Colorado here in my area, this is a national thing. So if you're listening to this show in New York, you know, there's no reason why you can't participate as well. If you go to the Samaritan's First website, there is a listing of all the different breakdowns of, I think we do what, Kay? I think it's New Mexico, Utah. There's three or four states that are involved in our area.
Yeah.
The whole country is divided up into, so, you know, this isn't just a Colorado thing.
No, there are thousands of drop-off locations.
Exactly. Yes. So we wanted to make folks aware that just because we're talking Colorado and southeastern Colorado, that the project definitely is not limited to this part of the country. It is a national and an international venture.
Yes.
So
there are five ministry centers that you can drop off shoeboxes any time of the year. That are the Boone and Charlotte locations, except mailed gifts. And for this information, you go to Samaritan's Purse drop-off locations.
Oh, very good. Kay, I know that this is a project that's close to your heart. I could tell that by the way you were so animated and you were so inspired when you spoke at our church the other day. We at the church appreciate you sharing with us, and I certainly appreciate you sharing here on the show today. Is there anything else you would like to add?
That you be everyone pray year-round for the delivery of the shoeboxes. God gets them into countries that are closed and sensitive, But yet God lets those come into the children. And just we need to pray always that the way be paved for them to be, and that the children receive them.
Yes, definitely. Yes, and that they that their hearts will be open to the message that comes with each one of those boxes, and that they will embrace the greatest journey program.
Yeah.
And that their families will also be enlightened to the light of Jesus Christ. And because these people are in, just like we talk about on the show, there's a lot of darkness out there, and these people live in very dark places, not only with their inability to have basic daily needs met that we take for granted every day, but also spiritually. There's a lot of darkness out there. There's a lot of people that were never, ever even heard of the light of Jesus and all that he has to offer. So this is a wonderful, wonderful project.
I agree. Very important.
Okay, I would like to thank you so very much for coming on the show today. It was a delight to have you here, and thank you for sharing all the information that you did about the Operation Christmas Child Project, and may God continue to bless you as you promote Operation Christmas Child.
And you also. Thank you very much.
I'm pleased to welcome to the show this morning also, in addition to Kay, who was with us earlier, I'd like to welcome Linda and Richard Estep. Linda and Richard have been involved in Operation Christmas Child for many years, and they're able to share with us another aspect of the program. They've actually been to distribution centers. So Linda and Richard, good morning, and welcome to Step Into the Light.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Well, as I stated, I visited this morning with Kay. She's our local church affiliate for the Operation Christmas Child boxes. She volunteers with the program, but tell us how the process is carried out in actual distribution. Where have you guys been, and what does that look like for you when you go?
Well, I am the area coordinator for Southeast Colorado. So when I took that position back in 2005, I was invited to go on a distribution to Ecuador. And then 10 years later, I was invited to go to Colombia, and then in 2019, I was invited to go to Liberia. Richard?
And then when I went my first year to Zambia, I was the logistics coordinator, and I'd never even been out of the country before, so that was a new experience for me. So it was great.
Wow.
As far as how a distribution takes place, most of the distribution, 90% of the distributions that take place around the world are not done by an American. They are done by local volunteers in-country who work with Samaritan's Purse through Operation Christmas Child, and they are trained and equipped to be able to go out into their country and work with pastors and missionaries. They work with hospitals and orphanages and just, you know, any outlet that would be available where they can reach out into the communities and find the children who need to be able to hear about Jesus. So it is carried out by local volunteers in country. We got to go on these trips just because as new volunteers, they call them vision trips, so that we're able to go and see what the end result is of our work here in the United States. And it really is a life-changing experience to go and experience what happens with these little shoebox gifts as they go out to share Jesus with kids all around the world. It's an amazing thing, but the point of all of that really is just to let people know that it's not a humanitarian project where the Americans come into the country and give their gifts to the kids. It's a project where the gifts go in and are used by local ministers, pastors, and trained teachers who then go into the different organizations in their country where they can meet the needs of the children there through the gospel.
I love that term vision trip, because I would imagine after going on a trip like that it is such an inspiration to you that when you come back, you're even more fired up to spread the word about this project. So I think that's a fantastic term for it. I can't begin to imagine the expressions on the faces of these little ones as they receive this gift. It must be something absolutely amazing to see.
It is. Yeah, it's a life-changing experience for sure. Just to go out of our realm here, the way we live here in the United States, to see what it's like in other parts of the world too is really an experience, just to realize how the rest of the world lives. We are very blessed here in this country, and we take a lot of that for granted.
Yes, was talking with Kay earlier here in the show. We talked about the fact that some people have asked, why don't they do this for American children? And we discussed the fact that people do not have, here in this country, have probably very little to no concept of the level of poverty that these children live in other countries. I mean, I've had friends that say, well, my kids can't, my grandkids, you know, my daughter, my son is really struggling and having trouble getting my grandkids outfitted for school. But, well, yeah, but it's not near the same as the fact that these kids, like Kay brought up, some of them don't even have a pair of shoes to where they can attend school. Some of them probably don't even have a shirt on their back to where they can attend school. So we talked about that. The level of comparison is, there is no comparison between what our children have here.
Yeah.
Even the poorest of our children have here in comparison to what, you know, these little ones have in other countries.
That is so true.
I know some of the children, like you say, are in orphanages and places like that, but I'm sure there are children that do have parents. How do the parents react when they see their children presented with the gifts, or are the parents even there?
Yes, the parents are invited to come to the distributions, and the ones that I have attended, the parents would sit, you know, in the back of the church or the back of the room or on the side walls or something where they can watch, and they get to hear the gospel as well as the trained teachers present the gospel to the kids. The parents are also hearing it, so it's an outreach to them as well. When I was in Colombia, I watched a little boy, he was probably 4 or 5 years old, open his shoebox in the midst of all of the other kids. You know, there was a big crowd of kids opening boxes, but I was just kind of watching him. And when he opened his box, there was a pair of shoes. And he picked up both shoes in one hand and showed them to his mother. And she was sitting in a chair at the side of the room, and she jumped up and squealed as she ran to him and sat down and pulled off his little shoes. And the shoes he was wearing were way too small and dirty.
Aww.
She pulled those off and put the new shoes on him. And they were probably at least one size too big. They were too big for him, but nobody cared at all about that. They put those shoes on him, and they laughed and hugged, and they were so delighted to get that pair of shoes.
Oh, my goodness. Richard, you and I talked, goodness, it's been 6 years ago now, on Step Into the Light here about Operation Christmas Child. Have there been any significant changes in the program in that period of time?
Yeah, there's the biggest thing is the growth. More boxes, I think United States, 10 million now that we're sending out. One of the main things that I like about it is the growth. They have what they call the greatest gift, and that's the gift of Jesus Christ. And then they have the greatest journey, which is a discipleship program, because it's one thing to get a kid saved, but then what do you do with them? But they have a discipleship program, the greatest journey, and it's a 12 lesson, which usually takes 12 weeks. And then they disciple these kids. So they're not just left, you know, we save them and then go off and leave them, but then they make disciples out of them so they can witness to their families and friends and the rest of the village. And I'd say that program has probably almost doubled in the last 6 years of how many people. And I witnessed a graduation. And after they get through with their greatest journey, they get a diploma. It's just like a graduation. And they're so excited, and their families, to see these kids and the smiles on their faces to, you know, what's the changes in their life. That's what's, to me, is the greatest thing that's happening, is the growth of disciples in Christ.
I also got to go to a graduation ceremony of the greatest journey, and I think there were 12 or 14 parents who went forward that evening and got saved at that graduation service.
Oh,
so again, it's not just reaching the kids, it's reaching out into their communities.
And I'm so glad that there's that kind of follow-up, because now that you mentioned that, I've had other people on the show that have talked about, even here in this country, how many times do we save people? And then we just kind of leave them and say, okay, you're saved, you're good, you know, but hey, where do I go from here? And sometimes people are just kind of kind of lost with that. What's the next step? So it's wonderful that the Operation Christmas Child program is following through with these people that in other countries, and we probably need to set that example. Do the same thing here.
I would agree. Yeah, and it's amazing too, even how many churches are started through this program when they go out into, you know, remote areas where there are no churches and have a distribution. It seems like there are just churches that'll spring up from that then. So the gospel is continuing to go even after the kids get their shoeboxes and complete their discipleship program and everything. It just keeps going and going. So there's a multiplication that's taking place in that as well.
Most definitely. It almost sounds like when you throw a pebble into the water and all the ripples that come out after, you know, how it just spreads and spreads. And that definitely is a wonderful and amazing thing to have happen.
Now, another thing I'd like to add about what's changed significantly is they have what they call an out there and in here program now that they've started in the last few years. And that's not just out there where you're sending the shoeboxes, but it's in here where we as churches and local Christians hear how we can influence the people around us. And I've just seen this work just in our own programs around here. All the volunteers, the people in Los Angeles and Lamar, how we've made, you know, friends with them and built relationships, and we share each other's dreams and we share each other's victories and failures, and it's a friendship, it's a bond. And then the people that are making boxes and bringing them to them, we always ask them, can we want to pray over your boxes? Is there anything we can pray with you? And how many people ask for prayer? And, you know, how we're touching people not only out there, but we are touching people in here in our own communities. And that's another great thing that I like that's happened in the last few years.
Sounds like it's become a very strong fellowship community, Richard.
Yes.
Like I mentioned, I had Kay on the show earlier. She shared why this project is so close to her heart, and you shared a little bit about that. Is there anything more you would like to say about, wow, this is the reason we have been invested in this program for so long? Because how many years have you both been involved?
We started out in 1999, just as relay center here in Rocky Ford. And now, in 2005, we became a central drop-off, so we've been collecting boxes from all the area communities. We have drop-offs in Springfield and Walsh and Holly, Lamar, Eads, Los Animas, Grenada, Fowler, Ordway. So we've got a real good system of volunteers here that all work together to bring those shoeboxes together to get them processed and sent off to the countries where they go. I guess I'd like to share what the mission statement of Operation Christmas Child is. The mission of Operation Christmas Child is to demonstrate God's love in a tangible way to children in need around the world, and together with the local church worldwide to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And I love the emphasis there that it's the local church worldwide here on this side of the box, and also on the, you know, in country on the other side of the box. It's churches and believers that are working all together to further the gospel. And the thing I think that makes it so dear to my heart is I love the Great Commission, and this is one way that I'm able to fulfill that, to take the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, into all the nations. Project reaches out to over 100 countries around the world every year, so, and it just keeps going and going. So, like I say, you know, this has been a big part of my life since, for all these years.
Yes. So,
and I just really love the idea of being able to be a missionary or an evangelist. And I can do that right here from little Southeast Colorado, make an impact on the world.
Yes.
How did we get involved?
Well, Jim Ridgewell at our church, he heard about Franklin Graham and the involvement with Operation Christmas Child. And so he came to the church and said, this is a program and we ought to get started in it. And everybody, yeah, it's another one of those programs. And we couldn't get our pastor on board. The first year we got 44 boxes, but then we started hearing stories, the vision stories and the impact stories of how it's changing kids' lives. And you see the video and you see these kids And it just became a thing in our heart to spread the gospel, especially to these kids. And like, say, it's grown in our church now to where, you know, we're doing 600 boxes. One year we did 1,000 boxes. So it's really grown.
Wow, that's a lot for a small community like you guys are in. And I mean, so am I. That is just amazing. Yeah, and I wanted to mention to the listeners, because, of course, not all of our listeners are here in southeastern Colorado. Hopefully we have listeners from all over the country. I don't know, but for those who don't live in this area, I just wanted to mention that when Linda talked about all of these different communities that they collect from, that's a big deal, because down here in southeastern Colorado, these communities are like, some of them, what, 30, 40, and 50 miles apart from each other and more. So it's not like we're in a big city and, you know, there's a whole lot of people around here. I mean, we are sparsely populated here. We are economically deprived here. So for so many people to be reaching out for this project is an amazing God thing. I just thought I would throw that out there for listeners to kind of be aware of where we are.
Well, I'm really proud of our area down here. We don't have a big population amount, but we are able to collect around 5,000 or more boxes each year. We've done that for about the last 3 years, and that's our goal every year, is to collect 5,000 boxes. Ratio to shoeboxes to population is
about one box per every 9 population. So, and that's one of the greatest in the nation. We have our leaders look at our population, and we've roughly got 50,000 people in our population, and we do 5,000 boxes, and they wonder how we do it, because they're not doing that in the big cities, and it's a God thing. That's the only answer we've got.
Yeah, I agree. And I also, we brought up earlier with Kay that there are other options, the build a shoebox online, donating funds, help with the mailing, and then I think Kay said that the pamphlets and the literature and all that costs like $6 a piece and all these things. So there's other ways to contribute other than actually packing a box. So there's so many different ways that a person can get involved in this program.
There is. And prayer. We emphasize prayer all the time, because we know that when we pray over the boxes that God, we're including God in what we're doing. It's not just us as human beings trying to meet the need of a kid. We are praying for those boxes, and we know that God has a plan for each one of them and a child that he intends to reach out to with them. And prayer is a big part of our ministry. We have a whole team of people that are on our prayer team that just saturate this project in prayer all the time.
Yes, and it's amazing. I've heard stories from you, Richard, and I've heard stories from other people how a certain child will receive a certain box, and that one item in there is like something that they have yearned for all their young life. Or, you know, it's just something that is like specific to that child, and it's just amazing the way God engineers all that. He's a great God, for sure. It's wonderful.
Yeah, Richard's got a really good story that he experienced in that. I'll let him share with you.
One of our distributions, in the back of the room, there was 6 10 to 14-year-old boys leaning up against the wall. One of them was in a wheelchair. So there was 5 leaning up against the wall, one of them sitting in a wheelchair, and I'm watching them open their boxes. And the first 3 kind of open their boxes, and they pull out soccer balls. And I thought, now how is this kid in this wheelchair, what's he going to do if he gets a soccer ball? How's he going to feel? When he opened his box, there was a punch ball in it, and he was so excited. And the next 2 kids opened their boxes, and they had soccer balls. And I thought, that's got to be a God thing. That's just answered prayer, that kid got a punch ball instead of a soccer ball, this kid in a wheelchair. And that just showed me right there that this is prayer and God at work, seeing who gets these boxes.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what's so amazing about it. Well, is there anything else you'd like to share this morning? I know we could probably talk about this for hours.
it's a hot topic in our house.
Definitely, yeah. And I was going to ask you, I started to ask you earlier, did you have children that you packed the boxes with, and that's a part of how you got involved, or no?
No, my kids were all grown when we got involved with the project.
Oh, okay.
As our church got involved that first year, we did 44 boxes, and then we were trying to figure out how we could be more involved and get more people involved. So we reached out to Operation Christmas Child and got connected with the leadership that through Samaritan's Purse, and it just expanded from there to where we could become the central drop-off for Southeast Colorado. And I don't know, you know, it's just, I guess it's one of those things that when you're looking for a way to volunteer or to the Lord do a task, as you pray and reach out, he just puts you to work.
See, to me, there's another God thing, you guys, because a lot of people
yes.
that didn't have small children in their home would say, yeah, you know, this is a nice project. Maybe I'll give a few bucks towards it. But you know what I'm saying? But for you, it's obvious that God reached out and touched your hearts and said, hey, I have a reason why I want you two to be very involved in this. And look what you've done since. So to me, that's another example of the way God works in our hearts. Different people become involved in different projects for a reason. You know, he doesn't call us all to the same thing, but he definitely called you to this. And it's just wonderful that you followed through and you were obedient with it. So praise God and thank you both for that.
Thank you.
Well, folks, I want to thank you ever so much for spending time with me this morning between what you've had to say and what Kay talked about earlier. I think we will have a good overview for listeners of the program. And may God continue to bless you. May this be a wonderful, wonderful season for Operation Christmas Child. And may you get more boxes than you ever dreamed of.
Praise God. I will agree with you on that. Amen.
Listeners, it was a pleasure to have you with us today. Go to my website, which is pattysheen, pattysheen.com. There you can find at the Blog Talk Radio tab a link to all of the shows that we have recorded to date. Under each one is a more information tab. That's where you will find the link to the Samaritan's Purse for this particular show. For other shows, I have various websites, social media outlets, and that kind of thing on there. So until next time, God bless you.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites.